ain't heard about Moto Casino?
Moto has real Vegas slots. Any game you can find on the floor in Vegas, you can play it on Moto.
I like my slots hot.
Moto's free to play, like food stamps. In line at the grocery store, at a funeral, in traffic. Keep your eyes on the road. Hop on Moto Casino. Moto Casino got jackpots that are bigger than my belly. Moto, America's hottest free-to-play social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
Welcome to the MMA Roadshow, episode number 523.
I didn't know if it went there. I don't know. That's me just talking. It should have been the internal voice.
My name is John Morgan. Cold Coffee is apparently with me and burping over there. I was like, why is he interrupting me right now? What's going on?
I didn't know if it was going to be like that loud that it was like you were like, what the fuck was that? But off to a good start, as always.
All the professionals that we are just handling business here on a Wednesday afternoon. Coming to you a little bit earlier than normal, just after a media day like we always do every Wednesday. Yeah. You know what I mean? We just get together on
J-Lo
Wednesdays.
J-Lo was back in the fold today. Dude, it was like an MMA Roadshow media day.
So I was just going to say, if you know, we're sitting here to tape this episode, but really, if you would like to get a preview edition, or maybe this is like episode number 523 and a half, because we already did 523 earlier today, because it was basically just me and you, especially at the first half. It was just me and you. And then Alex Buchanan showed up about halfway through. He said he had taped an episode of a podcast, so he had to miss the first half of it. But the
and then props to him because he sent me a message. He's like, how's media day going? I was like, oh, it's fine. He's like, how many guys have went, and should I come over? I was like, bro, we started really early. I was like, only two guys have gone. We still have like four to go. And he's like, I was like, bro, come join us. And he's like, okay, I'll come over. And he got there really quick, so he must have been somewhere in the neighborhood. But up to that point, it was literally like the old J-Mo show. Like, let me just start these questions, and then if anybody else is going to say something cool, if not, we're done. And but it was good. It was good because then, like, I loved – because other media days like that at the Palace Station, it's like the Kenny show. That's why I'm, like, in the running for, of course, the journalist.
Absolutely.
You know?
Absolutely.
But it was so nice because today I was like, I don't have to do a thing. And then I was like – after you finished, I was like – nobody else is here to ask any questions. Like, I should probably ask a few questions. But yeah, dude, it was I was definitely glad to have you there because it was a nice sit back and, like, just record mode for part of it, you know.
Which is what a videographer should be doing, right?
Which is
right?
What a videographer should be doing.
It was wild, man. It was honestly, like, literally, I mean, we joke about it and me missing him and all that. And, you know, now I think everybody has a better understanding of where I've been and that sort of thing. But, yeah, man, it's been
a
long
time. If
you
were not there, that would have been a Kenny show.
Yeah.
I would have been probably so swamped that by the time Alex asked me if he should show up, I would have been so grumpy that I probably would have been like, it's too late now, bro. Might as well just stay away.
Oh, no.
Who knows?
Cold Coffee never gets like that. Never. I've never seen you be short with people like that, get a bad mood. But no, it was a fun media day. It was good to be back. It was it really had been a long time, to be honest with you. I'd kind of forgotten really just how long it has been. And man, the UFC's not back here until I think May 22nd or something like that. So it's going to be another
feels like a while.
Another 6 weeks or so until I get to do one. But it was good.
Six weeks
to be there.
Working off the couch. I'm a
you're looking for
that's
like vacation, basically.
I love it, and we've said it before. As much as we'll say, like, I love the shows at the Apex. The only show I like better than that is when I can sit on my couch and work from home. Like, that's even better. Like, it's like, do I even shower today, or do I just, you know, go down and make coffee and just start fights? You know. But no, it was good. Well, the thing about like the Palace Station, and whether it's at the Apex is very quaint, very close, whatever. Right. But there's something about the Palace Station too. Like, even though we're at a casino, we're upstairs in one of the meeting rooms, it still feels very quaint and very close and very sort of intimate.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, so.
Well, you walk in. So I haven't. It's been so long, man. Yeah. I don't even remember doing
the
media
rooms?
Day there.
Well,
it's been so long.
But remember that, because that's the same space where we go for the Ultimate Fighter tryouts. And then there were some other little things there, but that's the space. That room,
you know,
right there.
You know what's funny is I don't Because
there's because those walls are modular.
But you know why? That's
part
of it, too.
So you kind of forget part of the spacing, too, right
But
there.
You know why as well is that when I did the Ultimate Fighter, when we used to go over there, I would always go up the escalator. And so, since we went up the elevator.
I took you up the elevator.
Since you went up the which I don't blame you. You had a lot of gear and all that stuff. So.
Well, because then you go up the elevator. If you go up the escalator, then it's not like the security's going to stop us. But they were just literally, they're right there. So I was just like, let's just shortcut
that. So you go up the elevator just to get around security?
Kind of. I mean, I know them, and they would do whatever, but a lot of times,
I assume
you
were doing it because, you're like,
I got all this stuff.
Well, it is that as well, but it's twofold, you know. Plus, escalator at the Palace Station is very, very narrow.
It is.
Even though they've updated the rest of the casino, new carpeting, the sports book looks much more updated.
Sports book is awesome.
Yeah,
man.
It looks much, much better now.
If you haven't been to Palace Station in a long time, go check it out.
Yeah.
It's nice.
It's night and day different. But unfortunately, they did not replace the escalator, so the escalator is still very, very tight.
Right,
you know?
Right.
So it's like I got to put one thing in front of me and drag another thing sort of behind me or whatever.
Well, that's,
so it's
why
just
that's why I didn't find it weird that you were going in the elevator. Yeah. And I was like, all right, we'll go in the elevator.
But
I was like, I bet he didn't want to get this narrow escalator.
It's
now I know. You were just
walk.
Like, F you, security. You're not stopping me. I know how to get around you.
I'm just going straight in, you know.
But to your point, when you get out there, so I didn't realize that was the same area, but now it is making sense to me in my head. It had been a long time since I've been in Palace Station.
Did you ever go to the old buffet?
No, because that's so far away from where I live.
Because that's where we went upstairs. If you went to the escalator, that's normally the entranceway. Then there would be a table right there that would, you know, take your money or whatever. And then they would shuttle you into the buffet room, which was very, very tiny compared to the one downstairs. When they did the buffet downstairs, it looks much more like a Palace – Red Rock or Station Casino. With Red Rock's much bigger
setup.
For those
that don't know, you used to live – right next to there.
Right
I mean, literally,
that,
like you could
I could
walk.
Walk.
Yeah, you could walk.
Could have walked to it.
Yeah, me obviously now you live closer down to where I've always lived since I've been in Vegas. I would never go up there. The only time I would ever go to Palace Station to eat anything was to go to the Oyster Bar. You know what I mean? Like
Oyster
Bar
is legit.
Legendary Oyster
that's
Bar.
That's the thing. There's a tip for you folks. If you're coming in town at the Palace Station, there is a little cubby. What I don't know what you want to call it, with just probably maybe 13, 14, 15 stools on the outside of it. Usually always a line, but it's called the Oyster Bar. But, man, it is legit. If you like seafood or like the different clam soups and all the other kind of
pan roast
stuff.
Is what they're
pan
famous.
Roast.
The pan roast
yes,
is what they're famous.
That's it. I was like, what is that damn term?
I'll tell you what, man. The new Durango has one, and it's bigger. It's got more
bar?
Seats. Oh, yeah. It's same recipes. It's got like 30 seats at it, so there's less of a wait.
There was like, you know, some of those restaurants do like little pop-up restaurants or whatever. There's one in town that's like a pop-up restaurant, and I saw that one of the original Oyster Bar chefs opened up a little restaurant inside there because he was doing his version of – what do you call it? Pan roast. All the other stuff. And the guy was advertising.
He was like,
if you like the original pan roast, he's like, you need to go
so
here.
It's so funny you
whatever.
Say that because I heard about it. Dude, so people that don't know, and you may think we're crazy talking about this, but this is like a famous thing for locals.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like the Oyster Bar and the pan roast. Like it's like one. It's an institution here in
Vegas. Whether you go to whether you've ever been to the Palace Station or whatever, more than likely people have heard the name Oyster Bar. Mm. Whether, you know, if they're asking about foodie stuff. And I tell people, you know, like, you can look at the big casinos, and of course this is inside a casino, but this is Palace Station. It's different than, like, say, going down to the MGM or one of the other ones. But when you think about a lot of the food that's in town, this town is a very foodie town.
100%.
And it's, you know, and the Oyster Bar is one of those things that is just really, really good. But it was always so out of place because the Palace Station for a lot of years was an absolute shithole.
Yeah, I know.
It was dirty, it was nasty, it was outdated. But then there would be like this restaurant that you would see lines that would just stretch way deep into the casino. And you're like, there's only like 13 chairs. You're like, what is the deal?
People would wait for hours. And it's a 24/7 restaurant, and people would wait for hours to go there.
How crazy is that?
It's a legendary spot. It is funny. Palace Station is nice now. I'll give it up. I haven't been in there in a long, long time. They've really done a good job.
Yeah, but when we used to go there for the Ultimate Fighter things, we had some really neat, unique memories there just even doing that. Because we'd go up there and we'd see them they'd take their paperwork and you'd see them all awkward and like nervous sitting at the table and then waiting their turn to go get in line. And then they would hand in their paperwork and they would take them around the side and then they'd weigh them. They'd take their pictures in front of some stuff. And then they'd go back and sit and wait, and then it'd be time for them to go roll.
Yep.
Or then it'd be time to go hit mitts or whatever. And then all right in front of Sean, Mick,
Dana.
Back in the day, yeah, you would see
Craig Pelugin would be there.
Yeah, and Shelby or
Joe Silva.
Yep. You know, like, it was just so unique. I mean, but I remember some of the interviews that we did up there, but just even seeing some of that stuff.
That was fun.
It's so unique. Like, it's one of those things that if you would ask anybody now, the Ultimate Fighter has gotten so big, and it's gotten such a this big sort of thing. People know of, like, the Ultimate Fighter gym, and they remember the other stuff. But there is a short bit of history where the Palace Station was very integral to the Ultimate Fighter stuff.
Absolutely.
You know, and it's kind of cool that we were actually there, you know, one of the few, like, outlets that was ever there, because luckily we lived
just
because
we lived here. Nobody else really, you know, had no other outlets.
Nobody would
had
travel for an
Ultimate
Fighter because you never knew who you're going to see. Right. But I mean, we saw, when you think of some of the cats that we saw go through there, it's absolutely mind numbing. It's just so hilarious.
And it was fun because even at the tryouts, you'd recognize some people. You'd be like, oh damn, look, it's so and so's here. You know, that was fun. And it was equally fun, like, seeing people, like, start rolling or start hitting mitts where you're like, what are you doing here? Like, you have absolutely no business. You know what I mean? Yeah. It was that mix of, like, why are you even trying out? You know what I mean?
And then there was the one year, right, where they did it. They took it to Red Rocks for some reason. Because I remember we went out and watched some of those cats. Because I feel like, who was their super jack dude that, man, super jack black guy that was like a beast at the fucking gym. And he didn't do well at first. But I remember we watched him try out. And I remember everybody was like,
oh, Phil Halls?
Yes.
Yes.
When everybody was like, this guy. I think that year or whatever. I remember we were out at Red Rock, I think, doing that or whatever. But I remember watching that and everybody's like, this is the guy.
Yeah. Oh, because he was the prospect,
and everybody was like so scared of him. Yep. And then, like, he didn't do initially as well. And we were just like, what is going on? But he got around and do it, you know. But it's just so
crazy.
Or
what about the ones where Dana would, like, break out the cash and be like, I got like $100 per submission or whatever. Yeah. Like,
so ridiculous, you know. Like, it's so unique. I mean, like, and it's funny because you forget about a lot of stuff till you, like, today. You walk into a venue that just brings it all back.
Yep.
You know, and you go in there and you're just like, oh my goodness.
Well, and I'll tell you what was fun about today too, which we've missed at the Apex because the way they have the Apex set up. But it's being in the middle of all the operations, right? Yeah. Like, so you walk in and you had an EA Sports booth right there where they were doing, like, face scanning and stuff like that for some of the fighters. Yeah. And then over here, there was the makeup section over there, you know, and here was the photo room right here and the video room right there. And it's, I don't know, it's just kind of fun to be in the middle of that process and to see, you know, the team, even the people that you're not speaking to. Like, at one point, definitely heard Vanessa Demopoulos outside, like, just being incredibly loud. Doing
and then
something
when we were leaving, we saw Loma Lukboomi.
Loma Lukboomi was sitting there getting her makeup done. And
it's so cool.
It's fun to be in the middle and see all that. Yeah. At the Apex, we're in that media room, which is actually a better setup than where we are in Palace Station. But it's like the fighters just come in one door and out the same door. We don't really see all the
PR
stuff.
Shuttles them to whatever. Yeah. You know, there's been a couple events recently where, you know, the media room has made us cross through. I think Seattle was that way, or maybe it was one of the other ones right before Seattle, where we had to cut through what would be the UFC office, which is just spread out in that same space. So what we saw today and we're walking through would be like the UFC office and the PR stuff, except the office was off to the side a
Heidi
little bit.
Heidi Dean handling business.
Yeah. I mean, like, it's such a unique thing, and I love it when the UFC doesn't try to make a point to fight the fact that, like, you're in a venue, it's not ideal, you're not going to be able to isolate the media.
Right.
Just do what you can and let them walk through things. But seeing some of that stuff is some of the stuff that makes it so unique and cool to be there on the ground, like, worth it, you know? You know, do you stop and take pictures of the whatever? No, but do you make those mental images? Because that's the stuff that you just remember because the fighter's not in front of a microphone, so it's not like he's on guard, whatever. You're seeing
casual.
You're seeing teams interact with each other. You're seeing the staff actually doing what they need to do. I mean, there's so many people behind the scenes, you know, doing the things that make that ball keep rolling that you never get to see. But it's unique when you actually get to see them in their element doing their thing. It's never something we're going to take pictures of and do whatever. But, you know, I love, I mean, the amount of work, I mean, I'll always say, like, the UFC was never shy about making us work lots and lots of hours. And the people that actually do it love what they're doing. They care about the product. And that's why it was always annoying when people say, like, oh, man, the UFC staff, man, must just be so cushy. Man, what a great job.
I'm like, they grind
you.
Bro,
they work your ass off, you know. And so it's cool, like, when you see, like, today, them just doing their thing in their element, you know, and just head down, work, because that's the only way you're going to get through all the stuff. So it's neat that the media room kind of put us right through that stuff. But, getting into the media room, it was very, very shy, very, very small people, and it was pretty much – it was the J-Mo and Kenny show until Alex got there at the end. Then at the end, I think he only took part, really, I think, in one interview, maybe.
Yeah.
Maybe there's like another one. I was like, I'm glad you're there, Alex.
He was just there to shake hands, say hello to people.
He wanted to say hi to you,
hang out with Christoph, talk to me about my gig at CFFC. You know, that was about it.
You know, it was a solidarity. He's like, bro, I showed up.
He's like, I was here.
Because what was cool with it being, like we said earlier, was intimate or whatever. Because even if you go back and watch the live stream, I didn't put it in my actual video, but Josh Emmett was just like, whoa, where's everybody at? He's like, whatever. I was like, bro, we're here. That's all that matters.
We're
you know?
Here.
I mean, because there's sometimes, you know, you want a fighter, you never know what you're going to expect. And I can see where some people are maybe like, see, that's why you need to take the show on the road. But I will tell you, the show goes on the road a lot of times, and it's like that on the road.
Yeah, yeah.
And even worse, though, sometimes on the road, you go into that room, maybe there are 13 14, 15 media,
yeah.
But you still have the same two people talking.
Well, it's,
you know, so I mean, is it better that
the media
there
days are interesting?
There?
Like, I won't be shocked if they get rid of them at some point. I wouldn't be shocked. Now, I do know that they like having the media days because that content gets distributed to all their broadcast partners and stuff
that's
as
it.
Well.
It's
and
so serving a need for
it
them
is serving
to do the promotion.
A need,
but
it's interesting. I mean,
the media day into a Thursday press conference is always. Like, what are we doing?
Right, because you're asking the same people that
to
we just
the same
had.
People.
But it, nowadays it's just interesting because so these media days would really be the only time we'd have a chance to get content with everybody. You know what I mean? So it was really big. I mean, obviously in the early days of Junkie, like that content was amazing. Like the fact that we were on site at everything, like it meant something, right? Because we could have these interviews. But now, with the proliferation of well, first of all, everybody does Skype interviews, or I guess not. Well, Skype's going out of business. That's what such a
Zoom or whatever.
What a weird thing, right? Like it used to be called like video conferencing was called Skyping.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And now Skype is going out of business. But anyway, so you have all those all the time. And with everybody's social media, I mean, every athlete of note has a podcast or at least just puts up their own little messages and stuff like that. So and even then, you know, they just you know, used to the old school media days, which were a pain in the ass, where you had to go around and get individual interviews and that sort of thing. At least it was kind of unique content or whatever. Now everybody has the same content, so it's there's not as much media on site. I don't know.
I miss our Tuesdays.
Get rid of it at some point.
I miss our Tuesdays when we used to be able to go in on Tuesdays and we get our sit down interviews. We'd either just take a little piece of real estate in the UFC office, and I was able to like do a little two camera shoots, you know, light it and look real good. Oh man,
that was fun.
I miss that. Oh, it was great. You know, there's some. You know, we had some really cool interviews with some people way, way back in the day that we didn't get. I mean, like Israel when he first came on the scene. I remember he was one. We got him on an early one. I remember seeing some of the ones and a bunch of other cats. And it was just like, man, I miss the fact that we were able to used to get those when we would travel to everything, get there in on Tuesday, and then was just like, let's go straight to work.
That was cool.
Let's get the interviews. That like because they were like, well, we'll give you the interviews, but you know, you got to go straight in. And we're just like. Let's go. You know, that's why we're here.
That was fun, man. Those were the days. Those were the days.
Yeah. And then when the media days start, they didn't used to always, you know, at first, you know, even the way that they proliferated, you know, gave that footage out to everybody was a little bit delayed and was a bit weird, you know. And now it's just kind of interesting because, like, we do the same stuff where it's like we hear our stuff, it just gets pushed out to everywhere else. And, you know, and it's just like, why? Why are we here? Why are we whatever? But again, at the end of the day, I mean, it is what it is. I'm grateful that we're able to be there. But it's funny. I made the mistake of, like, looking onto the chat today. You know, I'm sure some of the people that listen to us are people that are on the chat as well. So thank you for some of the ones that are, like, explaining to these people who the guys are that are talking. I think somebody called me a kook or something.
Wow.
He must not have liked my line of questioning or something. Wow. I was just like, fuck you. Take my free content I'm giving you and shove it up your ass. I'm just like, bro, I'm not even an interview. I'm just trying to partake, you know, or whatever. And then I felt better. So I was like, whatever. And then I felt better when the Brad Tavares,
Brad Tavares was great today, man.
Was awesome. His energy. But, of course, the same crazy kooks are like, look at this dude's chain. He thinks he's Bobby Green. I was like, this is what you're taking away from this?
I thought Brad was great today, man.
Brad was incredible. I mean, like, there's something – and that's the thing. Like, there's certain people that are – you know, maybe it's his experience. Maybe he's been around that are just incredible spokesmen and just like good energy and like the people that you want to see representing the company.
I thought about that today.
And you said, so you were saying, when you said, it's funny because I was looking at Tapology and you said 15 years at the highest level. So you were taking it from when he got into the UFC.
Right.
Because I'm glad you said that, because at first when I was looking at my numbers, I was looking at when he started MMA, and that was 18 years. And brought up 18 when you were like 15. What I was like, okay, cool. Let me change my line of questioning before I get in there because I don't want to bring that 18 up or whatever.
It's incredible.
That's what
us
top journalists do. You know, we adapt on the fly. You know,
journalists of the year nominees. You gotta flow, man. No, I thought he was great. Brad is a unique character for me just because I just remember him. Like, I moved here in 2008. And he was on The Ultimate Fighter in 2010. And so here we are talking about the tough things. You know, we would go interview the cast. And that. So, you know, started interviewing that guy in 2010. It's 15 years later.
Yeah.
You know, he lives not that far from me. Like, I run into him at the park sometimes, like during the summers or whatever. Like, I'll be there with my family.
Park.
He's there with his, you know, cooking out or whatever. So I'll run into him a couple of times. And I thought his story was cool because I remember he was a young kid. I started asking about this today because I'll never forget. I don't know why it always stuck with me. I thought it was cool. Like, he came to Vegas to train, but he kept a job with Hawaiian Airlines because, like, he got flight privileges. And so that way he could go back and forth
to see family
and stuff. Yep. And obviously when you're first getting into the UFC, like, you don't have money to buy tickets to
that
go back and
cheap,
forth to Hawaii.
That's not a cheap flight.
No, so
that's
he kept
a cheap flight.
So I started – I wanted to ask him today. Maybe I'll ask him today, like, how long did you keep that job at Hawaiian Airlines? You know what I mean?
Awesome,
like,
yeah.
Because I just remember that on The Ultimate Fighter he did. I thought it was such a cool thing. And then to see him again 15 years later – and you're right, man, you know, I've talked about how the fact that I think, you know, I think Cub Swanson is an incredible,
yes,
you know, representative of the sport.
Yep.
But boy, I thought the same thing that you do. When Brad was up there today, I was just like, man, he's just so like on point.
On
you
point.
Know what I mean? And
great energy.
You know, speaking about the sport and the challenges and all those things. And I think you're right, man. I mean, he's become a leader at Extreme Couture. I love that story you shared about Jay Heron today, man. That was.
Well, I mean, when he was. It was so unique when you start talking about it and running through some of the names. Like, I think a lot of the people now, you know, new fans to the sport have no idea who Jay Heron is.
It's true.
And let alone what he did. And maybe not even realize that they maybe have even seen him in a movie after the fact, which is kind of hilarious and awesome. But I know even when I did my short little bit over at Extreme, when I was doing the Alta stuff, Jay would still go in there and show up, and he's
still
like
it.
Highly respected. I mean, like,
oh, yeah,
the stuff that he's did, you know, like one of the canvases on the wall that is, there's two big canvases on the wall of Extreme Couture, and one of them is from Jay's battle. I can't think of who it was where he got completely busted open.
Yep.
Or I think it was him that got busted open, not his opponent. But it was one of the two bled like a motherfucker.
And that
so
blood
it's
is
up
still
on
there.
The wall. Yeah, it's still up there on the wall. Like, that's how much Jay meant to Extreme, but let alone to the UFC at that time.
Yep.
So hearing Brad talk about some of these names, it just showed you how far and along this guy had been involved in MMA, you know, and still going strong, man, but still loving the sport, still learning new things. You know, and hearing him talk, you're like, you could tell – he embraces being a leader in the gym and that experience and other stuff, because there's one thing to be a leader by just, you know, I'm going to be commanding and you listen to my voice. I'm just going to instill fear. And then there's another thing when you know a guy that's doing the work, but he's teaching you, but he also leads by example.
Like, 100%.
He seems like one of those cats that leads by example. But you know who also does it at the gym, I think, is one of the best examples of that is Ray Sefo.
Yeah.
Guy at the top that still goes in there and still grinds with everybody. And I think they all look at that and they're like, Ray runs a big major organization, but he's still getting in here grinding. He's still holding mitts. He's still fighting. He's still training or whatever. Like, what a great example that a lot of these older guys that are there doing it. And so you have all these young cats that are going there. And I brought up the question a couple times today about the right gym or the gym that you choose depending on what your eventual level will be. Like, how good can you be if you go to the right gym? Of course, you know, eventually a lot of these fighters migrate to these major gyms, these big gyms. And it's not just that they're going there because, oh, I want to be associated with ATT because that name is huge. It's the cats that are there.
100%.
You know, and so when Extreme Couture, yes, it has a huge name, but it's these certain individuals that brought it up to that place, that point of, like, respect. Jay Heron is one of those guys. Brad Tavares is one of those guys. Ray Sefo is one of those guys. Obviously, Eric Nixick. But when you could go down the line of the cats that have been through there, and it's just so impressive. Can you get the training? Can you get the knowledge at another gym? I guarantee you can. You know, Gerald made a good point. He's like, it's about reputation. You maybe don't have to go to the biggest gym, but if you're training that move over and over and over, if you say, like, I'm only going to train my front kick, your front kick after thousands and thousands, I forget there's a quote somewhere. It's like you practice.
Don't fear the man that's practiced 10,000 kicks. Fear the man that's practiced one kick 10,000 times.
That's it.
Yeah.
You know, like, it's just, it's incredible. But, you know, like, you know, a lot of just what we heard from him and some of the guys today, it was just so on point just hearing. But I thought everybody today was in great spirits.
Yep.
You know, and I thought it was just like, I felt awesome about it. Like, you know, it's like, that's one of the perks. We say, like, yes, I don't sit cage side fight night anymore. I mean, I did that back when I was at UFC or whatever. So what I get and what I love about this is, like, some of those moments today where fighters want to open up about situations where they talk about mental things. They share a story that you maybe have heard before, but then you forget.
Mm-hmm.
And then you hear them talk about it again, and you like, relearn that, like, piece where you're just like, God, you're a badass. Like, and you went through shit, you know, and it makes them so human, and it's just so cool. And that's why I always, like, I'm like, when I talk to other media here in town, I'm like, go to the media days. Go to these things. You get to interact and talk with these fighters that, you know, that other people may be off to the side or that are just like, oh, that person's so cool. I'm like, he's even cooler in person when you get a chance to actually talk to him, you know. They're real human beings. That's the best, if anything, one of the best things about this sport is they do amazing, superhuman things. But at the end of the day, they're all humans with real stories, real struggles. And when we get a chance to chat with them and bring that out, It's one of the most rewarding, interesting parts of this whole thing.
It's my favorite part about the sport, as always has been, is that, yeah, what you do, you look at me like, man, they're absolute savages. Like, I can't believe they do what they do. They're just built different. They're just made different. And then you meet them and find out, and you're like, no, they're not. They have the same fears, the same self-doubt, the same everything that we all have. They just find a way to get over it and do it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And it's like, it's, to me, that's always been such a great, like, example, a great motivation of just,
inspirational,
like,
yeah.
Inspirational, exactly. Like, yeah. Look, man, they're just like you and me, man, but they just, you know, there's a few that aren't. There's a few that are just built different. You know what I mean? There's a few that are just built completely different.
We don't have
to name names. There's a couple where you're just like, that dude is marching to his own drummer over there. But for the most part, everybody has the same fears, the same doubts, the same whatever, and they just get over it. So, it was good. I enjoyed being that, and I hope to do as many media days as possible moving forward, man.
Especially when it's a pre-MMA roadshow. I know there's a long discussion that we branched off of the fact that how it was an early MMA roadshow show today.
You already had that. So if you want to go listen to that, go listen to that. Josh Emmett, Lerone Murphy, you talked about, like I said, everybody's in good spirits. Lerone Murphy, you know, obviously he realizes what a big opportunity this is.
Yep.
It's another main event. You know, he feels like he's in his prime. He feels like he's ready to go. He beats Josh Emmett. You know, this could potentially catapult him. I love the fact that I didn't really want to draw the comparison to Leon Edwards because maybe it's a little bit lazy, but it is kind of the same. Where Leon was the same way, where, like, it wasn't a fast rise to the top.
Yep.
You know what I mean? It was the same thing, right? Where Lerone was like, look, I'm not a big talker. I'm not this, I'm not that, but I'm going to stay true to who I am. I'll get there the way that I am.
I thought that was awesome when he said that, because you were like, you know, do you ever want to, you think you want to change that? You know, he's like, I am what I am.
Yep.
You know, like, at the end of the day, you want to be proud with what you go home and do.
Mm-hmm.
We've seen, we won't name names of guys that jump into characters and all of a sudden become become these beasts. And then how do you walk that back? At some point, you can't walk it back.
Yep.
So then you got guys like, you know, the Miracle here that just want to do what they want to do. And they, like, at the end of the day, they just want to be a fighter. They want to focus on fighting. They don't want to have to focus on the showmanship, or all the crap talking, you know, because there's so much other stuff to worry about. But, you know, but when you bring the comparison to, like, I felt like with Leon had a harder chance getting fights. I feel at least with Lerone, people are trying to at least fight him.
Right.
Where I felt like Leon was calling for those shots, and the guy, nobody was like, no.
Yeah.
No,
yeah.
We're not going to get it. But, yeah, in terms of, like, maybe not having the namespace where people are like, who this cat is, this is going to be that fight.
Yep.
This will be one of those
fights.
And it helps headlining in the U.S., as opposed to doing something and just being stuck as a co-main. Where if a London card, I guarantee he would have been stoked to be co-main event. But to be a main event here, that's huge.
It's a huge opportunity for him against a dangerous guy in Josh Emmett. A dangerous guy in Josh Emmett that I think – it's interesting because we talk about, like, staying busy, and he took a year off.
Yeah.
And
I thought his explanation was really good today.
Explanation was great. And if he's – if he's being honest, I mean, of course he's being honest, but, you know, everybody's going to believe what they believe. But he's like, you guys don't understand what I was going through. And it was funny because
there was real conviction in his voice.
There was real conviction in his voice. And obviously his team, I've known those guys for a long time, right?
Oh, the great dudes.
Great guys. And it was funny because as he was saying that, I just looked over at his team and they were all just like shaking their head.
Awesome.
You know what I mean? They were like, oh.
I didn't see that. That
oh, yeah, because
so
it was
cool.
behind you, but they were kind of side of me. I looked over and I was like, look at that. Like, they're agreeing that, like, this dude was fighting at, like, 30%. So he's
I love his team. His team, well, I mean, literally. I mean, like, they will come up afterwards and just be like, hey, man, thank you, whatever. They're such good effing people, man. I love that team.
So he basically, if you didn't catch the previous podcast that we did earlier today, which Josh Emmett, we had six interviews. It was great. Josh Emmett was – he basically was like, look, I was fighting at 30%. And you guys don't understand, like, I'm more powerful than I've ever been. You know, I'm more
crazy.
Which is crazy.
Dude, I feel bad because I went with Lerone Murphy on this one. But listen to Josh talk. You know, when you think about the time away, it's been a while since he's been fighting. He's 40 years old. But you knew that the power was always there. You know, you knew that he moves. I mean, he's willing to go, and he will go out on his shield. He's not the kind of guy that's going to play it safe and just say, oh, well, I feel like I'm up ahead two rounds. Let me just walk this one off. That's not him.
Right.
But to hear and just see that conviction in his voice, I was like, did I pick wrong on this one? Because, man, I want to believe in it. But, I mean, I think I'm going to stick with Lerone. I think he's just fighting really good. And, I mean, hearing Josh say that the layoff was and his reason behind it makes me want to give him credit for that and say, okay, there's not going to be ring rust, there's whatever. Because, I mean, we hear fighters oftentimes have these major injuries or these just nagging injuries and they never give it time to fully heal, so they never perform right. And he's just like, bro, I haven't been performing right for ages. He's like, I've been like 30 or 40%. I'm like, if that's 30 or 40%, like, bro, that's ridiculous because you are knocking people dead. So to think that he's feeling like his hands are better than ever, but it wasn't. It didn't come off fake.
Nope.
At all. Listening to him talk, I'm like, he believes that 100%.
Sincere. Yeah. Exactly.
Yes.
Yeah.
Because you can't fake that. We've seen dudes fake it, but I'm like, bro, we watched 10,000 interviews.
Best camp ever. You know, there's a difference. You can always tell. You can, especially in the room, man. You can feel the difference between. Yep. Honesty versus like somebody that you can tell is just telling themselves something.
And especially like you said you looked off and saw the team.
Yeah.
Because a team, if they're paying attention and they're into it, you don't see the immediate like agreeing or whatever. Because they'll use the team just like, oh, he's saying
heard
his
that.
Thing. He's doing whatever. But to feel that, that makes, you know, that gives me goosebumps.
Oh, dude, I'm telling you, that's thinking about it, bro.
Like,
they were like, it was like they were over there like, preach, you know?
That's intense, man. Yeah. That's the kind of shit that normally will sort of sway me. So I guess I need to see how they look on Friday to see if I change my vote.
Yeah, yeah.
I could just be the wrong guy that's just riding the Murphy thing. I think Lerone Murphy is the real deal.
You worried Josh Emmett might come in soft?
What's that? No, I just thought
that dude is always.
I mean,
rude.
Well, even with like when Marvin came in his time off and after dealing with his injury, there was something different.
Right.
I thought Marvin still put on a great performance and he did what he needed to do, but you felt that something was off.
Right.
I did not feel that with Josh
by
any means. Like Josh looked like with the time off and dealing with an injury. You know, even I remember saying afterwards when you heard Marvin, you know, just when he was, you just heard something different in his voice, a sort of wavering that just made me like, okay. So like halfway through the interview, I send my message to the guys.
That.
I changed my vote.
Yeah,
I was like, I can't, I'm not riding with this. And they're like, bro, he just started talking. I was like, I see it. I've seen these dudes for years, thousands and thousands. It's got to be thousands of interviews, you know, where I'm just like, I can tell that I don't buy it, you know?
Yep.
And just got to trust your gut. And my gut is telling me that Josh absolutely believes and feels he is feeling better. Look at what Jim Miller did after he took care of his Lyme disease.
Oh, my God. Yeah.
He reinvigorated his career, and he's still going. Like, he was like, guys, I didn't even realize how bad my body was, like, being affected by what was going on. Granted, this is a different thing, but still – when the fighters are so in tune with their bodies and they understand things are going wrong, and he made a bit risky decision to step away for a little bit at this particular age, but to hold on and be able to have still a high ranking and then go into this, and if he's feeling stronger and more powerful, dude, even though I said Murphy, for some of you that are looking for an underdog bet that you want to put some money down, Josh Emmett. That's
like plus 260 or something.
Not a bad. It's 260. He was like, "What am I? 275?" I was like, "No." Obviously, the line's moved in his direction a little bit, but it's still plus 260. Is crazy.
It's intriguing.
Yeah,
it's intriguing. Go watch
because he's got one punch power.
Yep.
He literally can finish the fight if he can, if Lerone doesn't keep that head moving and he takes a good shot from Josh. Josh will not. He swarms. If he senses blood in the water, it's over. Like if he hurts you once, you're gonna. It's just a cascade of fight, punches at that point. So, bro, but I was hyped after seeing him. And I'm glad he at the end, even though we didn't get to see the whole card unboxing that he was trying to tease.
He said he was gonna do a break of the pack, right?
And then I was like, I'm here for it. I was like, I
want to see.
I was
the
almost
cards.
Gonna ask because I was like, I don't understand what's in there. I don't know if they were like UFC Tops cards or something.
Yeah, so like some new kind of UFC card that comes out on Friday.
Oh, that's what I wonder if that's because Kaplan's helping out with that sort of stuff. She said there was some new stuff that was coming out.
That's what she moved to Dallas for, right?
For the top stuff, I think. So, but she said something was coming. But that's awesome. How good for them for like, so a lot of times the fighters and things because they would come out. So he probably was given that tops box or whatever, maybe with this fight week. But we've seen fighters when they're given like the new game versions and they're. Some of them don't even own a game system. They're like, I need to go. I was just giving the game. Now I need to go get a PS5 to play the game or whatever.
That's so funny. Co-main event, Joanderson Brito and Pat Sabatini was there. Obviously, CFFC Homer, the former champ, Pat Sabatini. Yeah. But he's a good dude. He's a stand-up dude. This is a tough fight. This is a really, really tough fight.
Talk a little bit more.
Pat does not talk a lot.
He does not talk a lot.
He's the nicest human being ever.
You asked him like 8 questions, and it was like 2 minutes.
The questions are shorter or longer than the answers, always. He just doesn't talk a lot. He never has. It's
but
just
he has
he
like
is.
Good little zingers, what are you going to do after this? On my way to the top.
Yep.
Like he was waiting for something like like coming out. I was like, bro, that was a good thing. I was like, I wish you would have talked for like an extra
minute.
It's
just who he is, man. He's just not a big talker. He's kind of a quiet, humble guy. He's a savage. I think he's in a really good headspace. I think he was one of those guys that kind of got in his own way mentally sometimes. Like overthought things a little bit sometimes, overanalyze instead of it's like, dude, just trust what you do. Like, it's one of those guys that in the gym, not that he didn't have success in the cage, he did, but it just didn't operate the same. It was like he overthought things a little bit or whatever. Now he's kind of under the understanding of where he is. He's in a good place, but Joanderson is no joke as well. And
he's fast and he's powerful. He just swarms.
Yep.
He swarms. I think Pat needs to stay on those wheels until he gets a good firm bearing and because Joanderson just doesn't stop. He just moves straight forward. And I think that's what usually gets him because he overwhelms guys.
Right.
So I think Pat needs to sort of like stun him and just slow him down. However that means. Does that mean attacking the legs to try to slow him down? Kicking his arms so he can't throw his power as much, but. I know.
Right you picked now. Against him. It's okay. It's all right. It's all right.
I went to Anderson on that one.
You don't get to come hang out with the CFFC crew this weekend. I was going to invite you out for dinner, but I'm not inviting you out for dinner.
I definitely am not going to show up if my picks come out beforehand. Be like, oh, you that jackass that picked against me, right?
Yeah. My boss, Rob Haydack, is coming in. Actually, he's flying in on Thursday, tomorrow, I guess. And, I'm sure we'll go hang out. He's just going to, I think, crash at the Airbnb with the rest of the team there. Those guys are, I mean,
he's
going to
actually
family.
Stay at the Airbnb?
Yeah, yeah.
Oh,
he's
that's
like,
awesome.
Yeah, usually he gets a room on the Strip, but he's like, I think this time I'm just going to crash at the Airbnb with them or whatever. So, yeah.
Do they swap the big room out or they say, bro, here's the couch?
That's funny.
You can't make the
you
boss.
You know what? I'll have to come back and report on that. I'll have to see how that goes.
I can see where he's like. I can see Rob being like a good sport, and he's like, "Give me a recliner, like
he would.
Grandpa
Rob's
recliner."
That kind of guy, he would.
I guarantee. But you think about it: if they're knee deep and they've been in that Airbnb all week long, it's not like they can just like, "Hey, our old boss is coming in here. We got a whatever,"
That'd be great to see.
He's just gonna get drunk enough that at some point in the night he's like, "All right, guys, peace. I'm going to get a hotel.
Morgan,
on the
pick
strip.
Me up and get me down to the Strip." Yeah, he usually stays at the Cosmo. I think that's like his favorite place to stay. But but this
I guarantee he's gonna have a room on the
down low. By Friday, he's gone.
I guarantee he puts a great effort, but at some point he is not gonna. He's too old.
He's like, this sounded fun. I've made a mistake.
Would you? I mean,
sleep on the couch. Probably not. No, I'd want my own room. I'd definitely want my own room. I remember like when we worked for
one thing when you're younger and you're like, oh, hey, we're just having some drinks. Well, we're going to kick it. Because then those guys, at some point, he's going to want to actually sleep. What if they're like, no, we're going. We're going.
You know, I don't know if you remember this. And I don't know if I just say it. Well, I guess it's not my fault if it doesn't. But remember USA Today when they bought us, when Gannett bought MMA Junkie, like their travel policy was if you're traveling, it's two to a room. Yeah. And I was like, absolutely not. I was like, I'm a grown-ass man that's on the road half the year. I was like, I'm not splitting a hotel room with somebody. Oh, yeah. So.
I remember for me, they were like, Kenny snores. Like, I was like, I snore. You do not want to. You cannot sleep in my room. You will not sleep. Like, give me my own room.
I was like, hell no, we're not doing that. So, all right, I'll report back on that. But, yeah, so I was going to see if you wanted to maybe come over and hang out and smoke a cigar or whatever. But now, if you do, I'll make sure they don't bring up the pics. I'll be like, hey.
Then I am definitely not.
Hey, guys, anybody see who Kenny picked here? Look at this. Hey, Kenny, there's your name. Why is Joe Anderson Brito's head in that little picture next to your name?
That's so weird. He must have got my pick wrong.
I'll have to address that as soon as I.
I'm going to take care of that, guys.
I'm going to step outside and call Matt Erickson right now and get that.
Call
get
that Uber. Get me the fuck out of here.
So I'm definitely looking forward to that. And then, of course, as we said, we talked to Brad Tavares and Joe Mearshart today as well, who are both great guys, both in great spirits. It is weird. Like, I kind of joked with both of them. Like, I'll be honest with you. When they announced this fight, I was like, they fought. I was like, I don't remember their fight, but they had to have fought before at
for
some
guys
point.
For guys to be in the UFC
the same
that
division
long.
For
yeah.
that long yep. and never have crossed paths. Like, I literally had to
How
double
does that
check.
Work?
Yeah, I was like, I don't remember the fight between them, but they had to have fought at some point, but they haven't. So they were both in good spirits, so I'm looking forward to that. It's interesting because –
Look at the experience between – Gerald, 37-18, Tavares, 20-10.
Isn't that crazy?
It's a lot of fight experience between those two cats, man. A
lot of fights. It's interesting because if you look at the card
– We did not – I was going to say, we should say that at the – That the main card, we did not get Valentin and Torres Finney. A lot of people were thinking we'd see that, and we did not get Kennedy, and we did not get Martin Boudet, and we did not get Cortavious Romeus and Chang Ho Lee.
Okay, that's the one that surprised me. And I'm not a big, like, the card has to be in this order type thing or whatever. Yeah. But and I'm wondering, obviously, because we only got six guys.
Could be a travel thing, maybe?
I don't know.
Because
so
it's Wednesday. They're already here. That would have been yesterday.
Cortavious Romeus and Chang Ho Lee, I don't – that card plays what I think is that when – because we know how this works. Like, the PR team actually writes the schedule, the week before, right? And sometimes we schedule changes. So I'm wondering if when the PR put things together, they were like, all right, kind of a smaller event. We'll go with six guys. We'll go with the top six.
Which we will say we've been pushing and asking them to stop giving us 13 people. We're like, can you, like – less. Because no offense, as much as the junkies is, people that are listening to this are diehards and will take as much. It's just a lot. You know, because a lot of times there's not a lot to ask a lot of the guys, and we just want to keep it to the main names that are going to be pushing the
numbers.
You
guys missed me, basically, right? Once I was gone, you're like, can we not have 12 people if we have to do all these interviews?
I don't want to ask this. Especially me. I know I told them after they did the six last time, I'm like, this was awesome. Can we just do six again? I mean, honestly, at the end of the day, would people, you know, hey, guys, you guys go on to our Patreon if you want to comment on there after the fact. A lot of times we've said main co-main. It's all what people usually care about. And if there's some random fight that actually means something for the division,
so,
I think a lot of people would be happy if it was just main and co-main.
I'll be honest with you. In terms of traffic, in terms of generating clicks and in terms of generating revenue, you're 100% right.
Those are the bigger names.
Main and co-main. Unless there's some, you know, like when Rainer, I don't know if –
I was going to say some of the pay-per-views where obviously it's like crazy, crazy deep.
Pay-per-views
are different. They'll always go deeper
on
those.
For sure. So I understand where you're coming from. And again, like I said, it's a little bit different because, like, it's you in there with very few people. Or none. So I get – me – but so
I'm
let me say –
I'm not a journalist.
But for me personally, like, I wouldn't mind if they were doing 10 or 12. Like, I would have –
you better not tell them that if you're not there.
I won't. I'm not usually there.
If you hit them up and said, like, I think Kenny should interview 10 every time.
I am offended that you guys have invited so few people. No, but what I was saying is –
You're like, I would have been coming if you had put more people on these things.
I was like, geez. I think what I think is that Brad Tavares and Jeremy Oshart were probably originally the third fight from the top after the co-main.
I can see that.
And then the UFC changed the bout order, but the PR schedules had already been sent out to the fighters, because I know the PR schedules are sent to the fighters the Friday before fight week is their goal. But I'm a little bit surprised Quartavious Ramius and Chang Ho Lee is in that number three spot right there. And again, yeah. I'm not usually one that harps on card construction necessarily, and I am one that believes, especially in pay-per-views, that featured prelim yep. is actually a really good spot to have. Some people are like, why is that on the prelim? But it's the featured prelim, which usually gets more yeah. eyeballs than the pay-per-view. And so, like, I think that's a good spot. But I'm a little bit surprised. I kind of want to find out what the thinking was in there.
I wonder, too, even if it's a matter of, like, sometimes with these things, you got to figure he's coming over from Korea. If they don't have a translator, if his team is not comfortable, I can see where they're like, okay, well, we can't just put Quartavious up there and not put his opponent. And if
that's
can't have a translator. But when you look at it, too, I mean, you look at the rest. I mean, Kennedy's awesome. Martin is actually pretty good on the interviews. Gerald and Brad are just – I think they're media savvy.
Yep.
And they're, you know, I mean, is it wrong to say fan favorites, I guess? I mean, like, the fans like
if
them. They relate.
If you cheer against either one of those guys,
yeah,
you have
I mean,
issues.
They relate. And they also – they just do well on media day. Like, I could ask my shitty questions and, like, they'll turn it into something better because they get it, you know? Yep. So, like, those are the cats that I'm like, yes, please, them, because they'll answer my question. They'll figure out what I'm trying to get to, and then they'll answer it. Whereas, say, if you ask, you know, Chang Ho Lee, he might be like, his translator, or if it's team, might just be like, can you explain again that question? I'm like, bro, I don't even know what I'm asking.
You might be 100% right about that because, man, it is – look, you got to pay somebody a full day rate to come in there yep. and do a six-minute interview.
And that's the part that the UFC does deserve a little criticism at times. So what they'll do – and most guys will never go – they'll never send a fighter to – well, we've seen it in the past. They won't usually send a fighter to a location where somebody on the team cannot – translate for them
right.
because there's paperwork. There's other yep. sort of stuff that we've seen. So I guarantee there's at least enough English knowledge by somebody to fill out paperwork. Now, is that enough to run a translation at a media day? Probably not. And some teams will just say, no, we're not comfortable with it. And they expect the UFC to step up and get a translator. And should the UFC at this point, when you're this big and you have something that's flown across the world, you should probably put in for a translator.
Give a couple minutes to,
you know. You need to have that. Like that's a deserved criticism on the UFC that, you know, if you're having somebody come over here and you're going to be in on the main card and you typically have them, bring a translator. But that being said, I didn't mind the six people on the media day as opposed to adding four other ones.
Well, as you can tell, it was fun to be back. It was the first media day I'd done in a long time, and it was good for us. It felt like old times in there with me and you kind of yeah. running shop in there. Card, actually, man, you know, I've seen a lot of people. Obviously, it just feels like the thing to do lately is criticize cards.
No,
but man,
that doesn't happen.
Ode Osborne, I mean, you look into the prelims. Ode Osborne, always fun. Davey Grant, always fun against Daniel Santos. I'm pretty sure this matchup, I'm pretty sure Diana Belbita and Deon Barbosa, I'm pretty sure the way that came together was Mick was having a few cocktails on the Sunday. I was like, look, their names look exactly the same. I'm making them fight each other. It's old Diana and Deon, DB. That's how that one came together.
Throw down.
Reese McKee, obviously he needs a big winner. We saw, you mentioned, Loma Lukbumi. We saw her. She's fun, man. I think she's a very fun fighter against Estella Nunes. Yep. Victor Henry is always fun against Pedro Falcao. Ooh. He's always entertaining.
Look, we have another possibility to say that there's two female finishes to start the card.
Absolutely.
They never have the women back-to-back. But the last time it did, they had two finishes, and everybody was like losing their mind because they had two finishes or two knockouts. Was it two knockouts or two finishes?
It was like two finishes back to
back.
Back to back,
and everybody was like, we've never had two back to back finishes. I'm like, bro, because you never put them back to back. This is actually a pretty
three out of the first five fights are women's fights. So that's
like those
kind of funny.
Those are legit. Those are fun fights.
I'm telling you, I'm good with this card. I think it's going to be a fun card. Again, remember, not every card is the same. This is not a pay per view. This is. I think it's going to be a fun little fight night. So I'm looking forward to it.
Again, because these are one of the ones where I mean they're building up. These are the fighters that are trying to start getting into the rankings.
Yep.
They want to. Are they contender fights? No. Obviously, every fight can't be a contender fight, but you have to at least build people up. And these are the cards to do it. I mean, it's easy peasy. They have everything that they need. If a fighter misses weight when they're staying here, then they're either came across internationally and they just didn't do something right. But you can't say they don't have access to everything that they need here in
everything.
Vegas. Like, literally, you get in on Tuesday or you get in before that, you can literally go to the PI every day and work to get your shit together and
yep.
have the best people
they
to
got,
take
they
care
got
of you.
Meals for you,
oh,
planned exactly how
I mean,
you
like,
need it.
I guarantee, you know, every fighter wants to fight in a big arena, but if you say, okay, we might not have to be in the best arena, but you're going to have access to the best staff ever that fight week. You ain't got to worry about your food. You ain't got to worry about whether you're going to get sick. I mean, random sicknesses still can happen. But, I mean, to have access to whatever, I guarantee most of these fighters are like, yes, let's go.
I tell you, you know what was funny?
We've seen fighters move here after fighting at the UFC.
Oh, yeah, because they're
going
like,
to the PI, and they're like, this was amazing.
Why would I not
going
take advantage of this? Why would I not take advantage?
You could go through the week and eat.
Yep.
You could just go and train and eat. Like, it's for somebody that's trying to save on money, and if you have the availability to go and spend long times in Vegas and take access or to use that stuff, why wouldn't you?
I'll tell you what, it's funny because you mentioned the random sickness. I know a lot of people got on Joe Piper. And again, if you listen to the and a half episode, everybody over at patreon.com/MMA Roadshow, you and I both said, and again, I am a Joe Piper homer as well, that as much as I like Joe Piper, I think some of the things he said could have been handled a little bit differently.
He deserved the criticism.
He deserved
the
criticism. But it was interesting to me, and I won't say any names. We'll let them, you know, suffer in silence. But there were a lot of people that were saying how sick they got coming to Mexico, you know, while they were in Mexico or on the
we
way
heard
back
some from
Mexico.
The media today.
That's what I'm saying.
Some of the guys were actually
staff,
stepping up.
Some media.
So nice, non-isolated incident.
It's not.
They were just they weren't given a microphone, and they're smart enough
and
to
they
keep
didn't
some
call
things
it,
together.
And they didn't call it because the country's not a shithole, so it's not. They shouldn't. You shouldn't say that. That was terrible.
Because it's just like you said when they're talking about going back there for Noche. Where they're doing it supposedly is absolutely incredible.
Yeah, supposedly Guadalajara is absolutely gorgeous. I actually was saying that on the and a half episode. I think the Morgan family is going to make a trip out of that.
That's
my wife was just saying that Guadalajara is like awesome. She said it's a beautiful, beautiful city.
That's cool.
So yeah, looking forward to going down there. Listen, a lot of MMA going on. PFL gets the season underway, so finally they get to start having some fights. We'll actually have some things to talk about outside of just, you know, the negativity, I guess, that was kind of during the offseason. It really felt like this was kind of a negative offseason for them. So now to actually have some fights, that'll be a good thing.
Just get to fights, man. Just people, give them something else to talk about.
That's it. Now you got some storylines and some highlights and that sort of thing. That's good to see. Big news this morning, UFC inked a deal with Meta. The AI rankings was mentioned in there.
Thank goodness. Or whatever
so
Dana
funny.
Said. He's so
Dana makes a big deal
out of it. It's so ridiculous.
I guess what I'll tell you guys is
I would hate to be one of those poor bastards on the ranking committee, you know, just hearing that. I mean, like, can you feel for those guys? I mean,
bunch of scrubs. Bunch of scrubs.
I mean, who would ever want to take on that thing that you're not get paid for, but just, you know, take that criticism.
So it's funny because when I worked for MMA Junkie, we were not allowed to vote in the rankings. Now, somehow we were still allowed to vote in the Bellator rankings, but I don't know. That's another story. Why there was inconsistency there, who knows? But I always thought that, you know, I never had an issue with it. And as soon as I left MMA Junkie, I did start voting in the UFC rankings, which I still do to this day, which is the humor that you lay out there. But I will say, even as a member of that panel, when people criticized the panel, I couldn't defend that. Like, there were people on the panel that I don't know. And that's and I don't mean that to sound like, you know, I know everybody, but it's like, this is all I do. Like, I live in this space, and I don't know some of these people. And so that's kind of weird to say, I live in this space, don't know who you are, and yet your opinion is forming the official UFC ranking.
Yeah.
So I get the criticism. I never took offense to it. I know maybe that's a wrong way to look at it, to be like, well, he's not talking shit about me. But, I mean, I guess indirectly he was. But I always feel very comfortable in the votes I turn in each week. As far as the AI coming in, I said it before, but I'll say it again. I welcome it. I don't have an issue with it. I think, you know, the amount of data, obviously, that a computer can process and weigh in terms of making decisions is probably better than a human. You know, not probably better. Of course, it's better than a human. Obviously, they can do so many things, but I do think there needs to be some human involvement in it. So I'm anxious to see kind of how it all plays out. I welcome it. I don't know what the details of it will be. I actually do think it's a good thing, as I said. I don't know whether or not that means my participation is over when this thing rolls out or if not, but I guess I'll just say I'll share whatever I hear.
They're like, John, we'll allow you to put prompts in there for it to train the AI, but that's about it.
Well, I told him because I've
but you got to wear these glasses when you do it.
I got to wear the Meta glasses. Look, I've told them behind the scenes because they've been talking about, you know, soliciting input and, hey, how would you change it? What would you? And I told them, I said, look, I'll stay on there.
What if they made it all fan based, the ordering. Like, Meta's like, you got to go. And if, according to these forms you fill out where you also enter your blah, 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 and we're able to track your view, your website history, that you can then participate in our own, and it'll take a small percentage of your vote to rank these.
That would be bad.
Because at the end of the day, the rankings matter nothing into matchmaking. But
it's, I mean, look, they have,
for a fee, you could buy your way onto the rankings vote.
Oh my god. And they do need alternative revenue streams, you know what
well,
I mean?
That's the thing. I mean, Meta's not doing this out of the just graciousness of their heart. You know, they're investing money, but they're hoping to get interaction and having product put in the face of these people. So if you're gonna start seeing fighters, more fighters wearing the glasses out there. You might even 100%. See Dana put on the glasses. He might be like, I'm not going to wear those goofy-ass glasses. When Sean's there, Mick's there, they can wear the glasses. You know, or he's going to be like, I'm going to have my social media guy that sits next to me with his phone. He's going to wear the glasses. But, I mean, we even saw a clip. I think in one of the preview clips, you saw a fighter walk up there with the glasses.
Yeah, yeah.
So imagine they just ask one of the fighters to do it. But
which
it's just
cool.
It's kind of cool, but they look goofy as fuck up there with glasses. Like, I mean, like, if they don't wear glasses and you're just wearing a glasses for a gimmick part, it's just kind of like – it's kind of – self-defeating.
Do they make them in sunglasses? Because, like, some guys wear sunglasses.
True.
So if they were sunglasses?
I don't think they do, but maybe. Maybe they can. But still, I feel like you're going to start seeing a lot more product.
That'll definitely be incorporated. Oh, you'll definitely see the product.
You're
going to
see all that sort of stuff up there.
So this is one that I thought, because they said that I think Threads is going to be the official social media platform of the UFC, and they're going to be sharing a lot of content there.
Interesting.
I don't have a Threads account. Now, I don't know if I need – because Threads is – is it
still
part
Facebook.
Of IG or part
well,
of Facebook?
Yeah, because Facebook, I don't know if they own Instagram.
Is it a separate
but
platform
it's so tied,
or it's tied into
it's
it?
It's a separate, but it's all tied. So you can actually connect your Facebook to your Instagram to your Threads. So literally cross-platform. You can cross-authenticate between the three different things. That's why when you're on Instagram now, a lot of times you see like a Threads in your feed. Like they promote Threads feeds inside the Instagram feed.
I see that on Instagram.
And it launches you seamlessly into the other platform.
I get that. We're like,
because they're so
intertwined. So-and-so is posting on Threads. Don't you want to see
that's
this?
That's it. And you don't even realize that you've crossed over. If you have the Threads app on your phone.
I don't want to sign up for another account or something.
I was going to say, you have to have, if you've signed up and you have the app on your phone, you might not even notice it because you'll literally be in the Instagram app and then all of a sudden you're in the Threads app and you're like, how did I get here?
It is a different app though.
It's a different app. Yeah. Wow. But it's all connected. It's all tied. I mean, Threads was, you know, all this dates back to things that they were trying to go against Twitter. You know, they had their own little sort of thing. They had the things to battle YouTube and they had the things to battle Twitter. So Threads was their answer to Twitter and, you know, and the different X and other stuff. And then Instagram, they had their Reels, which was supposed to go against, you know, like the Instagram Reels and the Shorts or whatever. Then they bought them, and they were like, it doesn't even matter anymore because they're all in the same party, you know, or whatever. But, yeah, I mean, it is what it is. But, I mean, like, there's going to be a lot of things, I think, rolling out that who knows what it's going to do. At the end of the day, it's a multi-year contract where the UFC is going to get money out of it, and then Meta is going to get to, promote as whatever, they're going to place their product, but ultimately they want to interact with that fan base. Yep. They want to, so you're going to have people signing up for stuff and collecting more information, jumping onto different other lines, blah, blah, blah. Because at the end of the day, Meta, Grok, all these other things, they need pools of data. And so you're going to be getting, as a fan, you're going to get offered incentives to agree to get, you know, whatever, forms and this and this and this and this, and ultimately it's gathering information that trains their AI bots and just keeps the ball rolling before they become our overlords. And it's all starting with the rankings.
And it's all starting with UFC rankings. Oh, man. Well, we will keep you apprised of that.
Skynet came from the rankings. Dun, 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 dun.
We will keep you apprised of that.
That's a Terminator thing. If people have never seen Terminator.
Sci-fi. Listen, there was a lot of news. UFC 316, we got those headlines. Ian Machado, Gary, and Carlos Prages. I love seeing that matchup, man. That's an absolute banger. As I said, PFL is getting underway. But also, that's not all the combat sports that's going on. You also have Glory on Saturday morning on DAZN. Literally right before Media Day, I had a chance to talk to the man that will be the headliner of the card, which, of course, kicks off the last heavyweight standing, the year-long tournament that Glory is putting together. And I'll share that with you now. It is the Goliath, Jamal bin Sadiq. He is one of 32 heavyweights kicking off the last heavyweight standing tournament this Saturday, April 5th in Rotterdam and live on DAZN. And Jamal, I'll just ask you, ahead of this year-long tournament, man, what's the feeling for you? You're no stranger to tournaments, but this is a potential year of tournaments.
Well, it's the start of something great this year, you know, and the first step is this Saturday, 5 April, the start of the last heavyweight standing tournament this year. So it's great to be in there and to get a chance to win this tournament. So it's great.
I love it, man. Listen, we saw you in February, first time we had seen you in more than 2 years. Talk to me about what it meant for you to just not only be back competing, but to obviously get a big knockout win after a long time away from competing.
Well, it was not easy. As you know, Uko Jurgendal is a very dangerous fighter who knocked out many opponents in the past. So it was a big fight for me. And, you know, in a sold-out arena where 99% of the people come for me, you know, you get a little bit pressure, and after such a long time absence from kickboxing, you know, but it was amazing to be back and to win in such a way like I did that day. It was great to be back, you know, and show the people the Goliath is back.
I love it. What kept you going, man? Because that year, the years away that you had were wild, right? I mean, you had these suspensions, you had surgery, which is scary as hell. You know, listen, I could see somebody saying, I'm done. I don't need this sport anymore. It's too challenging right now. But you kept going. Like, what kept you going and what got you through everything?
As a child, you have a dream, and I never gave up that dream. And I want to become world heavyweight champion and also tournament champion of many tournaments. So that's what keep me going. You know, life is fell down, stand up, and fight again. That's why I participate in this tournament, you know, the last heavyweight standing. So it's great to be back and to have a great year in front of me. I'm thankful of this moment.
I love it, man. Well, you've got the opportunity to become world champion. You've got the opportunity to win these tournaments. It all starts Saturday. Random draw. I love the way they put this thing together where they just drew the ping pong balls out of the hopper. You got Christian Restea. Give me your thoughts on him as an opponent. Obviously, you know, everybody in this tournament is good. They're tough. But what did you think for him as an opening round tournament?
Well, you know, like I said before, it's a tournament for warriors and gladiators and such. Like, you know, Restea is a gladiator. His nickname is the Gladiator. So I think the right opponent to fight my first fight. So I think Christian Restea is a very dangerous fighter, explosive fighter. Have a lot of experience, fight a lot of dangerous fighters and won also. So, you know, this Saturday will be the first step in the good direction, I hope, to fight in June, the four heavyweight tournament. So really looking forward to Christian Restea this Saturday in Rotterdam, in Ahoy. So can't wait.
I love it. And listen, you got the main event. I mean, that's pretty cool, right? Like, that's got to mean, I don't know, like a feeling of pride or respect. I mean, you got these 32 heavyweights, and they say you get the main event.
It's amazing. It's amazing. You know, 5 weeks before, I was also the main event. And this Saturday, again, the main event. It gets a little bit pressure with it, but I'm used to that. And I want to show the people why I'm the main event, you know, why all the people need to sit down on their chair and need to wait, because I have something for them, you know. I will give them a great fight with a knockout win, and that's what they want.
Absolutely. That's why we tune into Glory to watch the big heavyweights, the big knockouts. Now, listen, Jamal, you talked about the dreams that you have and chasing this dream. This tournament is amazing, right? You get through this one. You go on to a 4-man tournament later in the year. You win that. You go to an 8-man Grand Prix at the end of the year. I mean, there's a lot of steps to win this thing. But to win this whole thing, I know you can't look past right now. I know you can't look past all the steps. But have you thought to yourself what it would mean to you to win this entire year-long tournament?
I think it's not such a bigger dream than this. It will mean everything for me because in this tournament, you have different stages. And the first stage is this Saturday. And after you pass that, you can go to June to the four heavy, to the four man tournament, and after that you have something greater in front of you, the eight man tournament. But I think I'm used to that because I won in 2018 the heavyweight tournament, the eight man heavyweight tournament back then. I have that experience, so I'm really looking forward to it. And this is also the first time Glory gave us a schedule like for the rest of the year. So it's great to know when you can fight, when you do your best, and when you win. So it's great to have this moment. Yes,
absolutely. So the winner of this whole thing, the last heavyweight standing, it'll be a great honor. But we also know now it also means a matchup with Rico Verhoeven, a man that you are very familiar with. Don't exactly like him a whole lot. What would another shot at Rico Verhoeven mean for you? I mean, I know this tournament win would be amazing, but is that really the prize for you, is getting to fight him again?
Well, I think he can duck me on that moment. You know, he's really looking to every fight what I have, and he's hoping somewhere that I will lose every fight, but I don't, inshallah. You know, I will do my best every fight. And he will look to every fight what I have, and he can't duck me on that. He will wait for me. He don't have any chance. He need to wait for me. He knows that.
I love it. It's true, right? I mean, we've already said this. The winner earns this. There's no getting away from it. So fighting him again and beating him, would it be a professional accomplishment as an athlete, or is it more of a personal thing for you that you just want to go beat him again?
Well, I think both of them, because we have such a long history together. And it will be both of them. But it's also good to take out the belt from him, because he's not defending his belt against heavyweights, you know, and he don't give us the fair chance to fight him. There are many heavyweights who want to become world heavyweight champion, and they need to wait because I don't know why, because his shadow says movies, this, and, you know, and we need to wait as a heavyweight. So when you can't handle the pressure, just give the belt away. That's it.
Yeah.
So maybe a message for him.
I love it. I love it. Great message, man. Well, listen, it's all on the table for you. Hey, I got to ask you while I have you. This is such a big time for Glory, right? And me as a longtime mixed martial arts enthusiast, man, we've seen guys like Alex Pereira, Israel Adesanya coming over to the UFC and having massive success. Have you ever thought about mixed martial arts, or what do you think about those guys kind of leaving Glory and going and have big success in the UFC?
Well, I think, you know, what people want, it's heavyweight, stand-up fighting, real knockouts. That's what the people want to see. And when we look back at the UFC, like I said, people want to see knockouts. And that's what they can expect from me. I can knock out every heavyweight stand-up fighter. So I'm not a guy who like to hug and kiss on the ground, but when some heavyweight want to fight me or have no, it was such intense that the competition lost, you know. So sorry for that.
We'll edit it together. All good. So, you know, you were just saying, listen, maybe it doesn't sound like MMA is for you, but maybe if those guys want to come back and fight you, like, you'll fight anybody stand up?
You know, when they want to fight, I'm available for them. You know, kickboxing and it's all about heavyweight stand up fighting, real knockouts. You know, that's what people want to see. And that's why, you know, like Alex Pereira did, you know, he go to the UFC and he knock out opponents. Stand-up fighting, you don't go on the ground. And that's what people want to see. And so if there is any UFC heavyweight who is waiting for their chance to fight someone and is available to fight, you know, there are a lot of UFC heavyweights. And I think one of them is, I think, Tom Aspinall, who is waiting for a long time to fight.
Yeah.
Well, here I am. You know, I'm a guy who is available. I have my schedule, but we can plan something. You know, after June, I am free a couple of months. And I can come. Yeah, you know, I will tell you this. Heavyweight stand-up fighting, there is no UFC fighter who can beat me. Never in their life. So
wow.
That's a real message for them.
That would be amazing. Now, Tom Aspinall might be tough. We know he's waiting on John Jones, but that would be amazing to see. I know he wants a fight, but I think one that might be easier would be Francis Ngannou. I don't think he has the restrictions of the UFC contracts. What about Francis Ngannou? I heard he's talking about maybe kickboxing. What about that matchup?
Well, if he wants to do kickboxing, I'm available for him. And guess I will tell you this. He never faced someone like the Goliath, because when I entered the ring, I really come to chop his head off. And like I said before, real knockouts, what people want to see. And that's what the fans can expect from me. The people can expect from me. And that's also what they want. So this is the message for them.
I love it, man. Well, listen, I mean, there's some big opportunities on the table. Maybe some of those fantasy matchups can come true. But right now, it's the last heavyweight standing. I think you kind of laid it out. I mean, it kicks off Saturday in DAZN in the United States. Maybe a chance for new fans. I think you kind of said it. But if people haven't been watching kickboxing, why do you think they need to tune into this thing?
Well, like I said before, when you want real knockout stand-up fighting, you need to watch on the zone, the last heavyweight standing. We are there with 32 heavyweights who come to knock out our opponent. So there is no such a strong tournament like this, like Glory did. So I'm happy that I can participate in this tournament. And like I said before, this tournament is full of gladiators and warriors. And, you know, the start is this Saturday, so they need to tune in to watch real fights.
I love it, man. Listen, I've been a combat sports fan a long time. I don't ever remember a tournament like this. I'm excited for it. Jamal, I know you got things to do, so I appreciate you taking the time from over in the Netherlands.
Thank you.
Best of luck this Saturday.
Us. Thank you, sir. Thank you, Us.
All right. Hopefully you enjoyed that interview with Jamal Ben-Sadiq. You see how much better I did there? I didn't say the name, only for me to again say the name in there. So I'm proud of myself. I thought I handled that well. But listen, I will be tuned in on Saturday morning for that. A little bit later start on the UFC card. So if you want to get up in the morning, you can watch Glory in the morning. And then at night, you can check out the UFC. That's my plan to do it. So listen, I just want to give a quick shout out. The reason we're going early today is not only because I was at Media Day, and we could just come hang out afterwards, but also because I got invited to a very cool experience tomorrow morning at Nellis Air Force Base, and I get to bring my son as well, which I'm very excited about. My son is very much into aviation and is actually considering the potential of being a pilot at some point in his life, perhaps as a job. It's one of the things he's at least considering as a career that appeals to him, and through a friend, I got a chance to get an invitation out to Nellis Air Force Base tomorrow for a behind-the-scenes tour with the Thunderbirds, who actually have a show here in town this weekend, and I guess they're doing some practice sessions tomorrow. And so rather than have to worry about scheduling and all that in lock with that, we decided to get this thing out of the way. So I'm very, very excited for that. Will be kind of a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity, I think, and obviously and as any parent can tell you, when you get a chance to share something cool with your child, that's pretty exciting, so I'm very honored to do that. So that's tomorrow, and then, of course, this weekend, as I said, it'll be Glory in the morning for me. It'll be the UFC at night. I will be cheering for Pat Sabatini, CFFC, and, yeah, I'm just going to be enjoying that and making sure that you're not sick over there as you're just wheezing away. I don't now started out with some hiccups and some burps, finishing up with some coughs.
Well, I mean, we could reveal behind the curtain.
Well, we may have big shout out to Galley as well. We may have tapped into the Canadian whiskey just a little bit here this afternoon on a Wednesday afternoon, as you do on a Wednesday afternoon in Las Vegas. So, PFL tomorrow night. I love the fact that PFL is, like I said, getting back to fights, and I love the fact that they're not running on Saturdays, so that we can spread the entertainment out a little bit and not get lost in the noise. We can actually watch the fights. So a lot of mixed martial arts to watch and some combat sports all the way around. Hopefully you enjoy it. We will get together on Monday afternoon for everybody over at patreon.com/the NBA Roadshow for the next and a half. Appreciate everybody that supports us over there. But anybody that supports us in any way, even by just supporting us with your time, thanks for listening.
Here's golf legend John Daly.
Hell yeah, these wins are piling up faster than my divorces.
I only spent on Moto, America's social casino. You know I've won a couple of majors. And on Moto, I've won majors, grands, and epic jackpots on their classic Vegas slots with huge, huge bonus rounds. Moto Casino adds new games and awards players free coins every single day. Grip it and spin it on Moto Casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today. Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details.
Moto Casino, America's social casino.